Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series, How to Make Your Prayers Effective. You are studying Lesson 5, God Never Runs Out of Answers. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it. We're talking about the subject of prayer, developing a life of prayer, developing our faith, developing the things that God has given us concerning prayer, because prayer is not trying to get God to do something. Prayer is not trying to get God's attention. The Bible tells us that all things, not anything that's not manifest before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do, seeing then that we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who has passed into the heavens, let us hold fast to our profession and come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain. Come boldly and receive. So what is prayer? Prayer is communication with God and believing and receiving what He has already given us in Christ Jesus. Well, you say, yeah, but Brother Copeland, what has He given us? All things that it takes, all things that we have need of. My God shall meet your needs, the Bible said, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, what is in His riches in glory? What's not in His riches in glory? I'll tell you what's not in His riches in glory. There ain't no devil there. There's no sickness nor disease there. There's no poverty there. There's no lack there. Amen. Jesus said, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, the problem is not with God. Our struggle is not with God. The problem is with us. The problem is in our receiving, not in God's failure to give. And this old business of going to God and saying, yeah, but God, why do you not do what this? Why don't you do this? Why can't you do this? Oh, God, no, the problem not with Him, brother. The problem's with you. And say, yeah, but why don't He do it anyway? Well, come on, He's not going to change just for you. God's not ever going to change. He doesn't need to change. It's you and me that need to change. Why don't you change? I don't know what else to do. I know it. That's the reason I'm teaching you prayer on this broadcast. Praise the Lord. Now then, let me share some things with you quickly here from the 13th chapter of the book of Luke. Jesus, talking about a woman that he had ministered to and delivered her from sickness and disease and pain and an infirmity. He delivered her. And the leader of the synagogue got upset about it because he did it on the Sabbath. Now listen to what Jesus said. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? He said, you hypocrite, you take your stock to water, but isn't it more important for this woman to be loosed from this bond than it is to take some animal to water? My. Well, ought not this woman, seeing she is a daughter of Abraham? Then we read yesterday as we were closing from Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. And if you be Christ's, now listen carefully because I want to read the verse just before that. If you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now back up one verse and listen. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. For you're all one in Jesus Christ, and if you be Christ, if Jesus is your Lord, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In other words, ought not this man, ought not this woman, I don't care what race, what background, what culture, doesn't make any difference. Male, female, has no bearing on it. God is an equal opportunity blesser and employer. Praise the Lord. I mean, He is no respecter of persons. He doesn't discriminate between male and female, black, white, Jew, Greek, whatever. He does discriminate between faith and unbelief. Unbelief is not believing what He said. The discrimination is built into it. It isn't because He's trying to keep you from getting it. It's because if you won't do what He says, then you're not going to get it, because what He says is what's going to get it to you. Did you get that? Praise the Lord. Now then, you go over here to the fourth chapter of the book of Romans and see how it's written. Talking about Abraham, he said, seeing this woman is a daughter of Abraham, she ought to be loose. She ought to be delivered from what the devil done to her. Now look at this. Remember now, he said, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the same promise. In other words, you ought to be delivered if you belong to Jesus. That's the way God looks at it. Now he's talking about, it is a faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise be sure to all the seed. If it's not, you do it by faith that it might be by grace that the same promise is sure to everybody. I don't care what your background is. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you're in. I don't care what kind of mess has come on you. Whether it's spirit, soul, body, financial, social, whatever it is, you ought to be delivered. You ought to be free. You ought to be set free from it, and your prayers will work because you have a right to believe that, since you are the seed of Abraham if you belong to Jesus. Now listen to this, what it said about that. It said concerning Abraham, who's the father of us all, as it is written, I have made thee father of many nations before him, or like him, the cross reference says, whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, even though it looked hopeless, he believed it anyway, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That's the unbelief that he's talking about. Unbelief is not believing what he said in his word. All right. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. Now listen to this carefully. Therefore, what therefore? Because he was fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform it, and he got persuaded by it, by meditating and dwelling on it, and refused to stagger at it, even if it looked hopeless. Therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness, or that therefore God was involved in it and responded to him like he'd never sinned. His sin didn't stop God from bringing this thing to pass. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed unto him. Oh, you got your ears open? Listen to this. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our righteousness. In other words, the reason God wrote this in his word is to let you know that you have the right to believe. You have the right to pray and expect results. You have the right to pray over a meal before you eat it, not just because your grandpa did, or not just because you're supposed to at church, or not just because that's what we're supposed to do, but because you're going to eat the food. You understand? Because you want to believe God over this food so that it is a blessing to your body and not a hindrance. And you can sit there and pray for the missionaries. I mean, you can pray for the cook. You can pray for everybody in town and not affect the food. What you need to pray when you're praying over your food is not some religious, oh, yes, durst thou and doest thou and thou shalt and shalt not, but get involved with the food. Find out what the Bible has to say. What has God said about it? It said our food is sanctified through prayer, thanksgiving, and faith. Amen. The Bible said, I will bless your bread and your water and take sickness and disease from the midst of you. The Bible says, no deadly thing shall harm you that you eat or drink. Praise God. I say, Father, sanctify this food. I believe I receive it in thanksgiving and honor to your word. I receive it blessed and sanctified, sickness and disease taken from the midst of me in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that I receive it. Now I've prayed a prayer on purpose, a prayer that I believe God hears, a prayer that I exercise my faith in because I know I have a right to believe that. So what am I saying to you? Jesus said, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing. That's where the hook is in the believing. You shall receive. Now what am I believing? I'm believing what God said. Do I have a right to do that? Yes. I've made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. That puts me in right standing with God. I have the same rights that anybody else has ever had that walked with God and believed God. Oh, yes, but Brother Copeland, you know, I've done so many things that are wrong. Well, start doing something that's right for a change. Amen. Start believing God. What you did that was wrong won't stop your prayer life. All you need to do is repent. That's the first prayer you need to pray. Is repent of it, and now that puts you in a position to believe that you receive. You have the same rights to believe that God hears you when you pray as Jesus, because you're praying in His name, in His righteousness, and He is your Lord. If He's not your Lord, then make Him your Lord right now. Oh, Brother Copeland, I'm just not good enough. He is just so good and so righteous. I know you ain't good enough. The Bible said Jesus died for the ungodly. You qualify for that, don't you? Yeah, same as I did. Same as anybody else does. Oh, but we're so unworthy and we're just so undeserving. What do you want to waste your time bringing that up? All you're trying to do is con God. And I want you to know right now, take it from an ex-con. I never was, I'm not an ex-con from the fact that I've been convicted and put in the penitentiary, but I conned everybody I could think of. I mean, I lied for fun, brother. I mean, you know, and was killing me. Everything I liked was illegal, immoral, or fattening. The only difference between me and the guys, you know, in the joint now is that my mama prayed and I didn't get caught. I got into Jesus before my life went on in that direction until I wound up in that mess. Now listen to me. I don't care if you are in the penitentiary. I don't care what you've done. The blood of Jesus is more than enough. And you can start your prayer life right there where you are. You can believe God right now, right where you are. Now I have something else that I want to share with you that is vitally important. I've prayed about this. In prayers all over this earth, if you were God and you were hearing what people were praying, you're going to find out most of them are praying about money. They're praying about finances. They're praying about the hell they're going through financially. Governments are going through hell financially. I mean that everybody from the stock market down to the least little old one, I don't care where she or he is, money is a major problem. It is the biggest problem on earth, and the devil has his hands involved in it in more than anything else. He uses money to control more people, to control the church, anything else he can get his hands on, to control colleges and universities and all that. It's the guy that's got the money that tells other people what to do. And so I want you in this broadcast to begin to teach you how to pray concerning your finances. This is vitally, vitally important. Now, I want you to watch something here that came out of a meeting that we were conducting in Chicago. You know me well enough to know I'm not here just to get your money. So now pay attention to this very, very closely. We'll be right back in just a moment. In 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, if you'd like to look that up, I want to give you a little different viewpoint. Concerning a particular verse of Scripture here, in the 6th verse. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now notice this phrase. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. I don't think it's fair for someone to receive an offering from you or anybody else and not give you Scripture and not give you an opportunity to worship God in your giving. I don't think that's fair. I think you have a right to make your own decision as you purpose in your heart. I don't think it's fair for preachers or anybody else to put pressure on people to give. I don't put pressure on people, I put pressure on the Word of God. I'm leaning on it with everything I have. I mean, brother, we're out there, you know? I mean, we're just out there so far that if God ain't God, we ain't coming back. I mean, that's just the only way there is to it. Gloria said the other day, she said, did you ever stop and think that everything we do is impossible? I said, yeah, don't bring it up. I don't want to think about that. But it is. Everything God calls you to do is impossible if you think about it. That's what makes it so glorious. Praise God. Just walking around doing the impossible all the time. Amen. Now, notice this. He which soweth sparingly. Let me give you some insight about that verse of Scripture. This is what the Lord laid on my heart tonight to share with you, and then we're going to worship God in our giving. Let me say it this way so you'll catch on to what he's saying here. He that sows with grief, he that gives and grieves about it. Be better if you didn't give at all than to do that. I sure don't want your money. I don't want a bag full of bad seed. Not going to do me any good. It's sure not going to do you any good. And God ain't broke. So what does he want with it? No, see, he's not after your money. He's after your heart. And giving is such a part of your heart. I think Candy Staton is probably one of the greatest ministers of the gospel of the 20th century. And she said something one night. We were in a meeting. When I received the offering that night, she was there, and she said that she had $10 left to her name. Well, don't ever eat your last seed. Dear Lord, plant it, you know. But she didn't know that. And she said, the Lord said, I want you to give that $10. She said, God, oh, no. And the Lord said, yeah, I want you to plant that $10. She said, I did it in obedience, not in willingness, sparingly. She said, I put that $10 in that bucket, and then she said, I watched that usher just as far as I could see. Well, now see, God will put up with some of that when you don't know any better and he's teaching you. And so somebody gave her $10. And the Lord said, now sow that one. She said, this one was a whole lot easier to sow. God gave it to me. I didn't have to go make it. And she said, the pain was over. And she said, I just joyously
put it in that offering container and just rejoice. She said, the next day a guy gave me $500. Said, God couldn't do anything but just replace my seed the day before. But I got that grief out, see. Got the sparingness out. Now, how do you do that? By worship. Worshiping God. Worshiping God. I've seen people get upset over a ministry, particularly if it's big publicity about it, you know. Oh, dear God, I wished I hadn't given anything into that ministry. After all, look what they did with that money. Well, in the first place, you don't know what they did with the money if all you know is what the news media told you. And in the second place, did you give it to them or to God? Now, nobody can mess up your seed but you. Because your seed is of the heart. Amen. You might have given right out of your heart to the wrong people. I know I have. But you know God honored it anyway because of your heart. You did it out of a willing heart. So don't dig your seed up. Now then, notice this verse of Scripture. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly or not with grief, or of necessity or under pressure, see. For God loveth a cheerful giver. God loves a giver that's quick and prompt and joyous to do it. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having. No, just once in a while. Sometimes. Yeah, you can't ever tell what God's gonna do. Yes, you can. He said what he's gonna do. Right there. He said what he's gonna do. Amen. I was reading that one day and I just stopped right after the word always. Having. Always having. Ooh, they told me I couldn't have. And here he said, always having, always having, always having, always having. Woo, glory to God, always having. All sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now God's abounding towards you and you ought to be abounding back. I mean, he and you both ought to be abounding toward one another. Amen. Now, does this look like I'm abounding? I'll get there. That's not abounding, is it? Well, some of you think that's the way God is. Just hang on, brother. Another 18 years and I'll be there. No. The problem is, and we get into the thing that the Lord has sent me to Chicago to share with you, you're going to know more about this. You know why that seems that way? Because Jesus said the way you measure it, it'd be measured back to you. This is the way you've been going toward God. I'll get there, Lord. I got my nickel in my hand. And God said, here I come with the return. Woo, glory to God. But you're abounding toward him and he's abounding towards you. Praise God.
Whoa, now wait a minute. You ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out. And don't try to jump around. Yeah, but I want... No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn. And then learn and pray and learn. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next series.